You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. We were supposed to have a total of four shows last week, and unfortunately only two I was able to actually broadcast because of some conflicting time constraints. Normally, I broadcast from 4 to 5 days a week, unless we have another student that needs the time slot, and then I might switch to an earlier time slot. So for new listeners, my regular time slot is 4 to 5. Monday through Friday, and Friday I usually have a longer show that typically is about 2 hours. On some occasions, on special editions, it's gone to 3 or 4. But last week, while we were having this breaking story, I was busy writing articles for the school newspaper, the Richland Chronicle. I had four. Three are appearing in the issue coming out Tuesday, and maybe one on the following week. I don't know. The Richland Chronicle is the school paper. We need writers. We need photographers. We need any people that are that would be interested in making a contribution. The paper needs to be laid out, so we're short of both writers and people that know the application we use InDesign to lay out the paper. Now, if you don't know it but like to learn it, we'd be more than happy to show you or train you on it. And we also need illustrators, cartoonists. So whatever your skill set is, if you'd like to make a contribution to the Richland Chronicle paper, please do so. We have both a paper edition that comes out every Tuesday as well as an online edition. And we do need volunteers to do it. It's like a club. So you're volunteering your time. And we meet typically Monday and Wednesday from 2 to 3. Short meetings. It doesn't necessarily go from 2 to 3. It can go only 30 minutes to review upcoming stories as well as to review the past edition where we could improve. I've made a decision, given the fact that I lost two shows. I frankly, because I was writing this and it took more time than I quite frankly thought it should have taken, I have made a decision no longer to write for the paper. I didn't write last semester because of some issues with the editors. I've decided henceforth not to write for the paper and put all my attention and focus on this show. But I wanted to make clear, I had fully intended to do four shows. Tuesday, the first Tuesday of every month, my show is preempted by the Dallas County Community College District. And that started at 2 and ran right over in my 4 to 5 slot. I had planned to do a show but could not do it. So I had planned originally to do four shows. I only did two. The last one was on the attack, the terrorist attack. And I think it was a very good show, so I encourage you to listen to it. But I was going to give updates both Thursday and Friday because this was very much a breaking story with new developments. And I'll hit some of those developments here. I'm going to go over two stories today that are in the news. They're in talk radio and they're on television. And a lot of Americans, I think, are upset. One is the Paris Unity March in Paris, France. And the second one is a breaking news story. Apparently, the Islamic State, or people associated or sympathetic to the Islamic State, have hacked Central Command, U.S. Central Command, which is based in Florida, but has responsibility for the Middle East. It has a rather broad scope. So it's not only the Middle East, but because the Islamic State is based, they're a terrorist organization based both in Syria and Iraq, They're claiming that their people have hacked in, and they have, to the U.S. Central Command's social media. Remember, this is social media. Their Twitter accounts and YouTube. Do I think this is serious? Yes, but it's not, at least from what I've seen, it's not that serious, except they're claiming they have a lot of information, and they have posted some of that information that is sensitive, including the addresses of various military commanders. Some have been correct, some aren't. So we have a breaking story. I'll give you as much details as I have. There's not much to it, but it's something that is really getting a lot of attention. And the timing of this was interesting. The president was about to give and was giving a speech at the Federal Trade Commission on new standards that hopefully will protect your identity online. And that's the speech. I try to get a text of the speech or a YouTube video. None is available yet. So I'll cover that probably next show. But that's what I'm going to cover. But I am going to spend, before I get into those stories, a few minutes as to what happened Thursday and Friday. And for those that want a rather concise summary, I have published on the, well, first of all, there's available a YouTube video that I have at the very top of my last show, that's show 394, that gives, it's about a 23-minute video that goes through the timing, who was shot and killed, the whole sequence of events in a nice, compact way. And I think it's, I forget who published it, but it's online, it's on YouTube, but it also is at the very top of my blog, companion blog for the show. And if you're new to the show, the way you listen to the show is go to pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, pronkpops.wordpress.com. And at the very top, you'll have, after you see my picture, you'll have right below it links to the most recent 60 to 80 shows. And this show will be published sometime between the end of this show and tomorrow at 5 o'clock. The campus is more or less closed after about 6, so I don't have time to do post-production. Usually I do post-production for the show in the evening, so it's posted the same day. This week and this week only, it's going to be a day late. You can listen to the show right now, but most of my listeners listen to the show, the podcast, at their convenience. You can either download it or listen to it online, and the way you get there is go to pronkpops.wordpress.com. But, and this is very important, especially if you're new, I give you a lot of additional information. That includes YouTube videos, articles, opinion pieces, news pieces. And if I have time, in this instance I did, my own opinion and news pieces. Because I basically do a talk show where I'm giving my commentary or opinions or take on a news story, I have to briefly summarize what the news event is and then give you my opinion. Now, the problem with the terrorist attack, it was a breaking and developing story. By now, you know that two terrorists that shot and killed 12 people, mainly at the magazine Charlie Hebdo, are dead. They fled the scene. They shot at cops. They crashed their car, hijacked the car, went missing for a day or so, and then they were discovered in a printing plant north of Paris near the airport there, and they came out shooting and were killed by French security forces. They had one hostage that was released, so they're dead. Thank God, and they're dead, and hopefully soon to be buried and forgotten. I'm not even going to go in their names, but I do have a fairly tight summary of the events as well as the names and occupations of their victims. Now, and there's been two, I need to say this, and I'm not going to really get into the second. There were two terrorist attacks in Paris. By far, the most deadly was that initial attack, where two Islamic jihadist terrorists broke into the magazine and shot the staff. Cartoonists, writers, visitors were shot. as well as a maintenance man and a police bodyguard. I have the names and the summaries in my article, and I've already posted my article as part of the notes for this today's show. So if you don't have time to go back, you can go to the very towards the bottom of the page, and you'll have my article. Also at the bottom of the page, which I forgot to mention, is links to all my past shows, with the exception of some of the various earlier shows that were accidentally overwritten. So I want to bring that to your attention. If you are looking for a concise summary, I have it, but I also give you my opinion of what I think is going on. I have rather strong opinions, because the problem is this. We have a president of the United States. We also have a president of France. But the big problem is the president of the United States that simply refuses to say it is an Islamic jihadist terrorist attack. He literally cannot put those four words together in a sentence. He gags on it. He won't say it. Where we had a terrorist attack in the United States at Fort Hood, where a U.S. Army major, MD, psychiatrist, practicing Muslim, that was in communication with a terrorist, an Al-Qaeda terrorist in Yemen, he killed. He went to Fort Hood and killed. This is in 2009. 13 people, 12 were uniformed soldiers. One was, a civilian police officer. And he wounded 32. Yet the Obama administration said that was workplace violence. Give me a break, Mr. President. Everyone in the world considered it an Islamic jihadist terrorist attack. The guy got up before he shot and said, "Ali Akbar, God is great." There's no doubt about this. The FBI actually knew he was communicating with this terrorist leader, but they took no steps. You see, political correctness kills. We saw political correctness killing French citizens last Wednesday. And we have a president, at least there's some progress here. He now calls it a terrorist attack. Not workplace violence, but a terrorist attack. That's progress. That is definitely progress. He is a progressive, and eventually they do progress. But he will not name the enemy. And who is the enemy? The enemy is Islamic jihadists that are at war with the United States and the developed countries in Western Europe. They're at war. Jihad means struggle. It's a war. And they want to replace our government, as well as the governments of other countries in Western Europe, with the caliphate. That's their long-term objective. And they take two approaches. One is the short-term war, where they launch terrorist attacks. That's what 9/11 was about, where 3,000 Americans, as well as citizens of several dozen countries, were killed in the World Trade Center towers when two planes crashed into them and the towers collapsed. It is a war. And the first thing when you're in a war, you need to name and identify clearly to the American people, as well as our allies, who exactly is the enemy. And the enemy is the Islamic jihadist. And they're in many countries. And it's not just Al-Qaeda, although many of them are part of Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda seems to have a branch or chapter in almost, I won't say every country, but many countries, especially in the Middle East. And they are training people there, and they are sending them to do target attacks like what happened in Paris, France last Wednesday. So we need the president to wake up, get a clue, and speak those four words, Islamic jihadist terrorist attack. Because all three events, the one in Paris, France, the one in Fort Hood, and yes, folks, the attack on our diplomatic facility in Benghazi was also an other Al-Qaeda affiliate attack that killed four Americans, including our ambassador to Libya. Benghazi is in Libya. Our ambassador to Libya was killed. Three other people were killed, including a State Department employee as well as a CIA security contractors. Two of them, former SEALs, were killed in a planned, organized, and well-executed attack. And this administration, including Barack Obama, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, and U.S. Ambassador Susan Rice, in 2012, remember that was an election year, deliberately misled and lied to the American people and said this was a protest or spontaneous demonstration caused by a YouTube video. No, it wasn't. Ansar al-Sharia, the affiliate of, it was a militia group, but it's affiliated with al-Qaeda, launched this attack. It was a very effective, and they had professional people helping them because they were launching mortars, for example, on the CIA facility or annex, and they were right on target. That's why we had a total of four people killed. The ambassador and the State Department employee was killed at the diplomatic facility, and the people there were rescued by the security forces or contractors and taken to the CIA annex in Benghazi. And on the way, they were attacked. And then right after they got back, they had started to attack the CIA annex. All this was known the very day, within hours of the attack, really minutes of the attack. No one believed it was a protest. No one believed it was a spontaneous demonstration. You don't fire mortars. You don't carry rifles to a protest or a demonstration. They came to kill and wound Americans. That's what they're about. They want to kill us because we don't believe in their Islamic religion. They're jihadists. They're in a struggle to defeat, kill, and ultimately overthrow the governments in Western Europe as well as in the United States. Yet we have a president that goes to the United Nations about 2 weeks after this attack. Remember, the attack was on September 11th, 2012. President Obama went to the United Nations. I believe it was September 25th. It was two weeks later. And blames it on this video. Now, the video is offensive just like the cartoons were offensive in this magazine. It's a leftist magazine. It is crude. It's vulgar. But it had a circulation of somewhere about 45,000. And they published cartoons that would, and I will be the first to say, offend those of several religious faiths, including Islam, Christianity, and Judaism. They were fair. They attacked all religions. The editor was a self-proclaimed atheist, but they had the right to express their point of view, and no one in France or the United States has the right to kill them because they disagree with your religious views. They do have the right under our Constitution, as well as in France, to express their opinions, freedom of speech, and they were exercising it, and they were offending people, and they were provocative. This is not something I would read, but that gives no one the right to go into their offices and kill in cold blood their employees. And that's what happened. They killed members of the staff, the editor, deputy editor, writers, cartoonists, a visitor that was just there, unfortunately, a maintenance man, as well as a bodyguard, a police bodyguard, because he had gotten numerous death threats. And the previous offices of this publication were firebombed by Molotov cocktails and was destroyed. And this publication, especially its editors, were getting repeated calls, death threats. And last Wednesday, those death threats became a reality, and 12 people died. One was a policeman on the street after the attack. And I need to say this, most policemen, not all policemen, but most policemen in France don't carry arms. They carry a billy club, but they don't carry a pistol. And this policeman, unfortunately, was not armed. He was wounded, And then the terrorist went right up to him and at point-blank range shot him in the head. I believe these terrorists were on a suicide mission. They didn't expect, quite frankly, to come out of that magazine offices alive. But they did, and they fled. Fortunately, they didn't kill anybody after they left Paris, although they did take a hostage at that printing plant. But they wanted to die, and you know it, because they came out of that printing plant with guns blazing and were shot down by French security forces. Thank God. However, and this is something I'm not going to get into, this apparently is a cell, a group, several cells, a group of terrorists. At least the two that did the attack on the magazine's offices supposedly got training. They went to Syria, and according to the Associated Press, there were several press reports. So they went to Syria, and then Al-Qaeda paid for and sent them to Yemen, where they were trained. And then they were subsequently sent back to France, and they launched this mission. And then the Associated Press Friday, again in a breaking news addition to this, the bigger story, Al-Qaeda in Yemen, their affiliate in Yemen, claim responsibility. They said, we sent these people to attack you. And that is consistent with witness reports that said the attackers made it very, very clear. They shouted, we're Al-Qaeda from Yemen, Ali Akbar, and we have avenged the Prophet, because these cartoons were offensive. So they're dead. We know who sent them, namely Al-Qaeda. There's no doubt that this is a Islamic jihadist terrorist attack, a deadly one. Yet we have a president of the United States that's still engaging in political correctness and refuses to call these three attacks an Islamic jihadist terrorist attack. This is fantasy land. This is delusional. The reason why it's important is when you're in a war, the first thing not only your military needs to know, but the American people need to know in unambiguous terms who is our enemy. Now, the most of the American people are not as clueless or as politically correct as our president. They know it is Al-Qaeda. They know it's these Islamic jihadists. Does that mean all believers in Islam, Muslims, are terrorists? Absolutely not. There are over a billion, 300 million, I don't have the exact number in front of me, you can look it up, believers in Islam across the world, not just in the Middle East, in Indonesia, in the United States, in other countries, the Philippines, some in China, but there's over a billion, 1.3 billion, and it's growing. They're one of the fastest religious groups in terms of growing, in terms of their, and that's the second part of their strategy. Their long way to win this struggle is through increasing the number of people of the Islamic faith across the world. Remember, their ultimate objective is the establishment of a caliphate where the only law of the land, or the law of the land, is Sharia law, which is their religious law. That is their goals. That is what they believe in. And they're trying to do it. They're trying to accomplish this. They know it's going to take time. We're talking decades. But slowly and surely, that is what they're about. They will use the violent struggle or violent jihad in those countries where their numbers are great. And I need to quickly say this. The primary victims in terms of sheer numbers of killed are fellow believers in Islam. This is a radical fringe group. But when we're talking 1.3 billion round numbers, I would say just a rough estimate, about 130 million are true believers. And of those, another roughly 10%, which is 1,300,000, have been radicalized and will engage in this activity, terrorist activity. That's what we're up against. But the victims are people of their own religion that fear them, so-called moderate Muslims, because these groups are in their own neighborhoods. They're in their own neighborhoods. They're in their own countries in the Middle East. And if you don't agree with their version of Islam, which is primarily Sunni, but an extreme form of it, they will kill you. Their primary group that they target are the Shiites, which is the other major branch of Islam, but they're only about 10% of that 1.3 plus billion Muslims in the world. Those are the ones they're killing, beheading, shooting in the back throughout Syria and Iraq. That's what the Islamic State is doing. They're killing their believers in Islam, but they're the wrong denomination, if you will. They're Shiites. They also kill people that oppose them, that are Sunnis. That's what we're up against. These are cold-blooded killers. And it's about time the President of the United States makes a speech to the American people and clearly states what the threat is. And the threat is an Islamic jihadist terrorist groups that are attacking throughout the world. We need a long-term strategy. What we don't need is more political correctness. And unfortunately, that is what this president and his administration has been about. He seems to think, well, the only Muslims are good Muslims. Well, unfortunately, that's not true. These people consider themselves Muslims and engaged in a holy jihad, a holy struggle, a war against the Christian crusaders, the Jews, and people of other faiths. They are not tolerant. They do not have religious toleration. They are trying either through ethnic cleansing, forcing people to leave their homes and flee to other countries or other areas. And where that doesn't work, they're engaged in genocide, killing people that don't share their religious values. That is what is going on in Syria and Iraq today. And yes, while the United States and its few of its allies are engaged in trying to a limited extent, suppress the Islamic State, ultimately, the only way you're going to win and defeat them, and that means fighting them and killing them, is to engage them on the ground. You can't do this by airstrikes alone. But before we go there, and we're going there, we're killing them. The president has launched also drone attacks where we fire missiles at them. We need to spell out who the enemy is, where they are, what they believe. No more of this political correctness. This is a war. This is not criminal activity. This is warfare. As long as you treat it as criminal activity, you will never get at the heart of the matter. You need to be clear what the threat is and how we're going to go about it to do first contain and then destroy the threat. But first, you need to clear your head, your biases of this political correctness. And all political correctness is a way to either limit, constrain, ideally, to eliminate dissenting opinions. That's what political correctness is about. It's shutting people up. You can't say that. You might offend somebody. We can't say it's an Islamic jihadist. That might offend people of the Islamic faith. Well, people of the Islamic faith already know all about it. They're in fear and trembling in terms of what these radical fanatics are doing in their own countries. It's not news to them that there are Islamic jihadists. You can go on YouTube, if you have a stomach for it, look at the Islamic State videos where they're driving down highways and killing people in cars. Not asking who they are. They happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, and they shoot them. People with their families fleeing. And then there are dozens of videos where they're executing Iraqis, Shiites, and yes, Americans, beheading them. Their favorite way, once they capture you, is to execute you by beheading. They don't have the time, they just shoot you. That's what they're about. Yes, they're extremists. Yes, they're terrorists. And it does strike terror, especially if you're near where they are. And last week, the media across the world gave them a lot of attention. A lot of attention. It was wall-to-wall coverage on this specific event. To a certain extent, it should be. But in terms of the Islamic jihadist terrorists, this was a successful attack, a successful mission. Now, what do you think they're going to do? Unfortunately, they're going to try again and again and again. That is the nature of terror, and that is what the governments of the world are afraid of. Now let me get to the news story that happened this Sunday. In Paris, France today, 40 of the world's leaders, as well as several million French citizens and people that were in Paris, marched, a unity march. And I have pictures on my companion site, prankpops.wordpress.com, as well as videos, and you can watch the videos, look at the pictures, as well as some articles. Now, I would have thought, I don't have a television at home, I would have thought that the United States would have sent President Obama, and if he had a conflicting schedule, at least Vice President Joe Biden, to attend and march in that unity parade. President Obama had nothing on his schedule. He did not attend. Joseph Biden had nothing on his schedule. He did not attend. Secretary of State John Kerry was in India talking about climate warming being a threat. Another clueless idiot. And our so-called selected representative to represent the United States was Eric Holder. He thought it was more important to go on one of the talk shows, I believe it was Face the Nation, with a live shot from Paris, France. He was a no-show. The highest ranking U.S. representative in that march was the United States French ambassador. No president, no vice president, no secretary of state, and the person that was sent there to represent the United States doesn't march with the other 40 leaders, including Chancellor Merkel, Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel, Cameron of the United Kingdom, and others. Missing in action was the President of the United States, the invisible president. It's a profile of cowardice. It's shameful behavior. I was embarrassed when I heard about it. I couldn't believe it. In a world event where everyone is watching, our president is a no-show? Our vice president is their no-show? That's shameful. I'm embarrassed to be American. And you can look at the pictures. I listened to it. I was stunned. You see, I can recall, some of you were not born then, that I was still in school, when President John Fitzgerald Kennedy was killed. And world leaders came to his funeral, including the president of France, Charles de Gaulle, and others. And that's what I flash back to. And I simply was stunned that neither the president or vice president attended. They didn't have to both attend, but at least one of them should have been there, and preferably the president of the United States. It was a unity march. That's what they called it. To show the terrorists, the Islamic jihadist terrorists, that were simply not afraid of them. It was a unity march where the president of the United States was missing in action. How tone deaf can you be? And the White House is stunned. They are being criticized from the left, the right, and the center on this. And they should be. This is a rare event. Millions march, one of the largest, if not the largest march in France. And one of our major allies, France, we didn't send a representative that showed up. And Holder, Attorney General Holder, thought it was more important that he give a live interview from Paris, France, as opposed to marching with the other leaders. That is shameful. That is embarrassing. What do we pay these people for? Do they have any common sense? Secretary of State Kerry should have made it very clear, if he couldn't go, that the president or the vice president should go. Now, what do you think I think is going on? They don't want to offend the Islamic jihadists. That might offend them. Frankly, it's cowardly. It's the act of a narcissistic personality. Obama wouldn't be center stage, but he became center stage when he wasn't there. And neither was the vice president, neither was Attorney General Eric Holder. That's the first time in a long time I've been really embarrassed by our country and its actions. A no-show. And their schedules were empty. I assume they weren't playing golf because it's rather cold out. What could be more important not to be there, to show solidarity and unity with the leaders of the European Union and other nations? They were all at risk. Now, admittedly, a small risk, And the excuse was, if the president attended or the vice president, their security arrangements would have been a distraction. Excuse me, when you have those world leaders there, yes, there are going to be security issues, and they need to be worked out and coordinated, but we pay people to do that. We pay the Secret Service to do that. And yes, it's rather short notice, but that actually helps you out. The terrorists don't know, unless they have spies, and they probably do, that this was going to happen. This was rather short notice, and it went off without a hitch. And there's pictures and video showing. So I say shame on our leaders. Shame on President Obama. Shame on Joe Biden. Secretary of State Kerry has somewhat of a legitimate excuse. But Eric Holder, I can't wait till he leaves. I think ultimately he's going to go to jail for some of what his actions were. But that's another show. And I think this is just another example of political correctness gone amok. We don't want to offend the other Muslims. Excuse me, the other Muslims are in fear of these extremist terrorists in their own country. They wish someone would kill them before they kill them. We have a president that's in denial. I frankly think he's delusional. He simply won't admit that there are bad guys out there that want to kill us, kill the American people and kill him. Won't admit it. Won't go to the American people and really tell them what's going on in clear, unambiguous terms. It's not like the American people don't know, but they're waking up to the fact that we don't have a leader. We have someone that leads from behind, way behind. While the world leaders were putting their security and safety on the line, 40 of them in Paris, France, our president was hiding out somewhere in the White House. I wish we could have call-ins, because I've seen some polls, and the American people are not happy about this. Not happy about it. I don't care what your politics are. They're not happy about this. This is embarrassing. This is shameful. This is cowardly. It's a disgrace, and I don't think that cannot be denied. So that is the talk, the news event that's getting a lot of attention in Washington and around the world today. Where was President Obama? Good question. I don't know. Frankly, don't care. Couldn't take the time to fly on Air Force One to attend this event. Couldn't take the time. He has a busy schedule promoting such things, which I'll talk about later in the week, as free tuition to go to junior college. I'll save that for our next show. No one is clamoring for this, though, and I'll get into the details of that. He has time to make speeches on that when he goes to really very selective audience, usually at junior colleges, so he's not really challenged. I hope someone directly questions the president about this. He should be called out on this, and he's getting a lot of criticism from both from the left, the right, and the center. The American people are not happy about this, and I think they're absolutely right. My second story, and this is a breaking news story, by the way. There is a breaking story, namely that the Islamic State or people associated with the Islamic State have hacked Central Command's computers. Now, let me be more specific. It's the social media sites on both YouTube and Twitter, and they're posting information there. Now, this is a concern. Now, obviously, if it were the government computers, the computers that the military uses, that would be a much, much, much larger concern. And I think people would be panicking. I'm not as, how should I say, panicked about this. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's not hard to do this. They have, apparently, they do have people that have the skills to do it, and they did it. Now, what's embarrassing about this attack happened virtually minutes after President Obama had ended his speech on new privacy standards to deal with the problem of identity theft. Again, this is obviously a well-planned, in this case, a cyber warfare attack, and they are calling themselves the Cyber Caliphate and putting embarrassing messages there and say they're on every base. Well, I don't know. I don't think Central Command, if their computers were hacked, are going to tell the American people they were hacked. I doubt that, unless there was a leak. But it's abundantly clear that someone ostensibly from the Islamic State or sympathetic to it has attacked not the Pentagon's but the Central Command. I believe their headquarters is in Florida. Computers, and it's the social network, and they're giving out the addresses, the phone numbers of some of the military leaders in that command. Some of them apparently are old numbers, but this is an embarrassment, especially when the president, it happens right after a presidential speech. This is a breaking story, so we're going to learn more about it in the coming days and how serious it is. I really think this was a propaganda stunt by the Islamic State or its sympathizers. They're sort of laughing at us, and it's getting attention. It's one of the major news stories today. It's on YouTube. There are articles already on it, and it's a breaking story. It literally has happened in the last few hours, and I would be upset, and I would be really concerned as to the extent of this hacking. Now, I'm also interested in what the president is proposing in this speech about cybersecurity, identity theft, because I get an indication that he's flip-flopping on his position on one of the issues here. But until I have time to actually see the speech and read the text, I really can't fairly comment upon it. Because like I said, it is a breaking story, and this speech was supposedly going to go off around noon today. But when I tried to listen to the speech, and I was at the right place, it wasn't playing the speech. So apparently they don't have the video yet. My guess is who's ever at the FTC videoing this has to take it back to the White House and post it. So I think ultimately it'll be up. And you might want to listen to the speech. I will most likely have an update. I will have an update if we have new information as to the extent of this hacking as well as what the president said in the speech. I'm definitely going to cover it in my next show. I'm looking at the time. I need to wrap it up. So I hope you enjoyed an update of what I think is a concise summary of what happened last week, and I do have an article on this towards the very bottom of the page. I thought I published it. I'm looking at it. Well, I'm definitely going to add to it. Oh, I know what's going on. I have two stories. Story one has my article summarizing what happened last week, and I'm debating whether I'll write something on. Well, I probably will write something about this Unity March and the absence of the president. If I do, I'll post it there as well. See, what I'm thinking of doing, time permitting, and that's the key thing, is writing a short, somewhere between 500 and 600 word opinion piece every show that I'll post with the actual broadcast that evening. But that takes time. But that's one of my goals, is to add more of my own written content as well as clips. Because I was going to play a clip of retired Lieutenant Colonel Ralph Peters that I think nails it. But I didn't have time to get that clip, or I would have played it. What I will do is add it to story one for your benefit, because I really think it lays out what we need to do in terms of going after the Islamic jihadist terrorist. He says it rather concisely, to the point. And the thrust of it is this. We're at war. And at war, they're trying to kill us, our families, our friends, and they're not going to stop until they succeed or we kill them. And that's exactly what we have to do. Political correctness doesn't cut it. Political correctness will get your throat cut, as several Americans have already found out. Just because you're an American citizen is not going to save your life if they ever get their hands on you. They will use you as an example to try to terrorize Americans, as well as try to recruit more young men to their cause. Because their primary recruits are young males of the Islamic faith in Iraq, in Syria, and in other countries that are willing to give up their lives. They don't have a future, and they're willing to engage in suicide terrorist attacks. Because that's what the attack last week in France was all about. Now with that, let me play my closing music, America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College.